You may remain seated. Grace to you from him who is our high priest, who mediates a new covenant in his blood, and peace to you in that blood, the blood which cleanses us from all sin. Amen. The third in our series of texts dealing with the blood of Christ in Hebrews comes from chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, sanctify us by your truth, for your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, raise your hand if you have direct access to the president. Very few people do. In fact, very few people even have limited access to the president. The closest you and I can come is perhaps to write him a letter. Even his own cabinet members can't just waltz into the Oval Office and meet with the president whenever they want. In fact, there's really only two people that have unrestricted access to the president's office, and that is the chief of staff and his personal aide. Those are the two people that set up his schedule and decide who gets in and who doesn't, who gets to have access to the president. There are these varying degrees by which a person can meet with the president. Tonight we look at worship and faith in terms of access. Access to God's presence. Who has access? And even more so, who among us has unrestricted access? The idea is the central thought of our text, and it's found in verse 19. In verse 19, we find this sense of access. Most translations will say something like this. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, or since we have boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near. However, that word boldness, I don't think captures the sense that's really going on here. The word being used for boldness comes from Greek terminology that would be used in the political arena. In the Greco-Roman world, this word would indicate the right to speak in a public assembly. And the only people that were given this right were those who were actually citizens. If you weren't a citizen, you didn't have this right. And the word also can indicate a person's right to approach a public official, to have access to a public officer and plead your case with somebody in a higher power. So if you were going to think of the president, it would be anybody. You would have to go through the chief of staff or the personal aide who sets up his schedule if you wanted to have that right of access. It's an objective thought. Either you're authorized to come before God or you're not. It's something that can be freely given to some people, given in a restricted sort of way to other people, and completely withheld from yet another group. It's not only confidence, it's not only boldness, but it's really a privileged right. It should make us bold, as verse 22 points out, but it begins with this right, an objective fact, and it has to do with the highest official, God. So we have verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having the privilege of access, having the right to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near. Under the old covenant, God's presence was dangerous. God is holy, and what this means is that God is completely separate from sin. that nothing can come into his unrestricted presence, tainted by sin or sickness or death. Access was always limited under the old covenant. It was granted in a way that would protect the people from coming in unworthily or in an improper way and so bringing judgment on themselves. Perhaps a person would come into contact with a dead body, or perhaps a person would contract a sickness or disease, and this would limit your access to worship and to the place of worship. Under the old covenant, this access was restricted. So imagine yourself with me once again. What happens in that worship ceremony under the old covenant? Imagine that special day that's alluded to in our text, the Day of Atonement, that one day out of the year when the high priest would go behind the veil, behind the curtain, and never without blood. If you were a priest, you would be getting ready for the preparations, getting the service and everything ready for the big day of atonement, while the high priest would put on his holy garments. There must be blood. God had sanctified blood as the means by which he met with his people and atoned with for their sins. So you help with the slaughter of the goat. You separate the blood from the animal, and you give it to the high priest. And you watch as the high priest travels into the tent, the tabernacle, as he goes literally through the veil, as he parts and goes through that thick veil to meet with God in that most holy place. Only once a year this would ever happen. Normally priests are never allowed to go behind that veil, and now they're granted access. Today is the Day of Atonement. He walks into the most holy place, and it's pitch black. You can't see anything. That veil and that tent have left you in darkness. And so he counts his steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. He knows he needs to be careful with this, because to desecrate God's holiness would mean he would die. And he sprinkles the blood on the Ark of the Covenant and on the floor. He consecrates those places as holy. 7 times on the Ark, 7 times on the floor. As you watch, finally you see him come out. And it's as if the crowd releases a sigh of relief. They know what's happened here. God has accepted the sacrifice, and the priest has come out safely. What is a privilege for some could be a warning to others. It was only through the means that God had given that the people were granted access. And it was only through the priests, and it was only with blood. Those who try to worship God apart from the means by which he's authorized bring judgment upon themselves. People in the Old Testament actually died from coming into God's presence when they weren't authorized or in a way that was improper. To approach God apart from the means he's granted is dangerous for all of us. Day by day, we are plagued by sin. There's sin in our lives, and that makes us unclean. It's not just a bodily uncleanness, like in the first covenant. This is a spiritual uncleanness. It's something that is a matter of the heart. It stains us inside when we have those thoughts that we know should not be there. We're stained with frustration when mom keeps trying to tell me what I'm supposed to do. We're stained with anger when our kids won't listen no matter how many times we tell them. We're stained with bitterness when those who should be nearest to us seem to walk all over us. And out of the heart comes uncleanness, something bitter, a resentment, a judgmental attitude, discontentment. We're stained. And for this reason, God sanctified a covenant. In the Old Testament, before Christ, It was a limited access that was given through the tabernacle, through blood, and through the high priest. The people were cleansed. And now that Christ has come, that the high priest has reached his fulfillment, God has sanctified for you a new way, a way that unclean, stained sinners can come into God's holy presence. There's a way, a privilege of entrance, an unrestricted access that's given to each of us, and it's because we have a high priest. We've spoken of access in a political way, but let's think about it now in a personal way. Certain people might have access to us in a limited way. In my office as pastor, people have access to me. Members, other pastors, colleagues, business associates. They can call, they can email, they can come to my office, they can set up meetings, and they have a sort of limited access. And yet none of these people have a key to my house. None of these people have unrestricted access to me personally. And the place of this access is really the home. The home is the place where we keep what is most precious, what's most personal to each one of us. That's where we share something that we really only give to the family. The family are the people who have personal access. I have one wife and three kids, a fourth on the way. And these are the people who should be feel free to approach me as dad, as husband, as family. They shouldn't be worried or afraid of coming to me with questions. As a father, my children should come to me. As a husband, my wife also, even more so, should have that unrestricted access to ask me questions or tell me when she's troubled. These are the people that have personal access. God, in comparison, as our Heavenly Father, has given the same sort of access. Here, in his home, is a place where God grants unrestricted access. In the most personal and intimate of ways, he calls us his children. He invites us in this rite of entry to be authorized, to come to the most holy place, which really is heaven itself, and now meet with him. Therefore, brethren, having the right of entry to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is what worship and faith is all about. Christ has come as high priest of good things, giving us a new and living way to access the most holy place. Notice the elements of worship here are the same. You have the sanctuary, the blood, the curtain, you have washing, and you have sprinkling. Those same terminology that's used in the Old Covenant. The sanctuary is called the most holy place. And what is the place where we come to worship God? It's not on earth. It's heaven. God is in heaven. Wherever God is, there's heaven. We come to heaven. Not with the blood of goats or calves, but with the precious blood of Christ, as we just confessed in our creed. Peter writes, he's a lamb without blemish, without spot. The blood which now is sprinkled before God cleanses us from all sin. And the way, it's not the curtain of the tabernacle, but it's Jesus' own flesh. You literally had to go through that veil, that curtain, to get into the most holy place. And now we go through Christ, his body. He became flesh for us that he might bring us to God And not in a dead sacrifice, but in a living way. This is the resurrected Lord Jesus who meets with us and brings us into God's holy presence. Jesus lives, and he lives in the church because the church is the body of Christ. So wherever the church is gathered, there we are passing through the veil and entering God's presence. Gathered here in the presence of God is Christ, among us, through us, and joining us together in him. It's the body and blood that grant us this right, this privilege of entrance. And the place is the heavenly sanctuary, the means is the body and blood of Jesus, and the manner is faith. And not just faith, but a full assurance of faith. How do we know? How do we know for sure this right is ours? We see lives stained with sin, thoughts corrupted and unclean. How can we know that this privilege is ours? Well, it's in two ways. Firstly, you're washed with pure water. That is, you've been cleansed by baptism. Baptism has granted you access. Washing in the Old Testament was always preparatory. You could never go into God's presence without first washing. Baptism washes you clean of the sin that resides in your old man. It drowns the flesh so that a new man can arise, so that you are cleansed and you can now be prepared to worship. It is preparatory to come into the church and to come into God's presence. However, as time rolls on, you are still plagued with guilt. Day by day, these things creep up. Sin tries to get a foothold in your life. It tries to drag you down, and Satan is the accuser. He's always telling you that you've come up short, that you don't deserve it. And he's right. And so, the second way that we know we have this right is by the sprinkling of blood. Having your hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. It's an allusion to the blood of sprinkling, and it's the gift of the Lord's own blood. His blood is yours through the proclamation of the gospel, and even more so, in a most intimate way, through the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is your guarantee that you have the right of access. It forgives your sins. It cleanses you from all guilt, and it brings you into this new covenant with God. Yes, you have the privilege of access. It's an objective thought. Through the means of blood, a high priest, sprinkling and washing, you've been given the right of entry. And what does your Father say? You are welcome. You're welcome to come into my home. It's your right as my dear children to come to me and ask me whatever you want, to have all the privileges of my heavenly kingdom, all my blessings, as you come to me through faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, having the right of access to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with his blood from a guilty conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water in holy baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.